send messages to Rome saying that Augustus is dead and that for the time being, at least, the command of the Roman Empire devolves upon me.
Tiberius, are you trying to deny me any part in the governing of this empire?
Yes, Mother.
Welcome back to The Life of Tiberius Caesar, mm-hmm. episode 14. Where did we finish up last time, Bubble Boy?
We were about to introduce Agrippina's flotilla as she has come ashore at Brundisium.
Oh, yeah. Brundisium.
There are crowds waiting for her. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. I apologize.
Nah. Keep going.
There are crowds there waiting for her. It's kind of dark, so they've all got their lighters in the air, waving them back and forth. Very solemn moment. They obviously plan on escorting her all and Germanicus's ashes all the way back to Rome. But of course, Tiberius has to do something to make it look good. So he has two Praetorian cohorts there to also escort her. Furthermore, there were the municipal magistrates of Calabria, Apulia, and Campania were ordered to perform the appropriate ceremonies as they're going up. So she's come ashore. Everybody's weeping. Everybody's wailing. However, there is not one member of the first family that is present to greet her, which, again, as far as PR goes, just hardens the hearts of the people in Rome who care about this. Not everybody does, but for those who care, this is just another indication of Germanicus being disrespected.
Yeah, Tacitus suggests that they didn't want to be seen in public because they wouldn't have been able to wipe the shit-eating grin off their faces, but...
Is that
I think
a quote
he's probably
from him?
Being.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's in Latin though. I don't want to have to read it, but
all right.
I think he's actually being probably a bit harsh.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does seem. I mean, okay, they didn't meet her in Brundisium. They sent a couple of Praetorian cohorts.
Yeah.
But they didn't even meet her at the city gates Turkey. When she got there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's not a good look. The crowds who gathered at the mausoleum of Augustus mm-hmm. for the interment of the ashes apparently were openly stating that Rome was now well and truly fucked. That's it. Germanicus was our last hope.
Right.
We're screwed. Bit like Americans after the recent midterms.
Right.
We're now well and truly fucked. Trump... Yeah. One more seats in the Senate, we're screwed. Now, Germs wasn't even given a state funeral. That just made it worse.
Yeah, what the hell?
I don't know. Thibaut just put out a statement that basically said,
"Yeah,
oh, gee, it's such a tragedy, but we all die. C'est la vie, que sera, sera. Let's move on."
Now, I found it interesting that, yeah, the people are upset. Some of them are, like you said, just saying we're fucked. Rome's, you know, best days are behind us. Now, Tiberius, who is the princeps, can pretty much ignore this. However, what he can't probably ignore is when people cry something like Agrippina is the last only true descendant of Augustus. And they are actually saying this out loud. They're saying they are going to pray for her children because they're probably not safe. And, of course, the question is, safe from whom? Who wants to harm Germanicus's children? And, of course, there's only one or two answers for that, Tiberius and Mommy Dearest. So, again, when it comes to public relations, Tiberius cannot get a break. But like you just said, he's not helping himself by not showing up at Brundisium, by not showing up at the gates, by not giving a public estate-paid funeral. So, again, he's making all the wrong moves. But at what point is he endangering himself or the state? Who knows? But the point is he's not playing this very well.
Well, say what you want about Tiberius, mm-hmm. but he wasn't a faker.
That's true.
You know, he always just put it out there. Like when he was sick of being Augustus's number two,
right? Fucking left.
Who does number two work for? Who? Does number two work for?
That's right, buddy. You show that turd who's boss.
When he was sick of being Augustus's number two, he just up and quit.
Yeah. Packed up, took off. Yeah.
He doesn't, and now he doesn't want to fake sadness. He's like, listen, I could go. It's like me having to go to bloody family Christmas events. Like, everyone's like, hey, can't you just pretend that you're happy to be around family? Yeah. And I'm like, no.
I'm here, really, but fuck really, off. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just don't talk to me. Don't look at me. I'm not going to wear your Christmas sweater.
Yeah.
For a start, it's fucking the middle of summer here in Australia. So what are you thinking? No, don't give me Christmas presents. I don't care. I'm not giving you a present.
That's right.
I'm not giving anyone presents because I don't believe in Christmas. I don't believe in Jesus. Don't believe in Christmas. Why do you persist?
Do you see the earbuds in my ears? Fuck off. I'm listening to something.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening to me and Ray. Like, don't ruin my good time. Fuck off, leave me alone.
Pour me a drink.
He just doesn't. He's not a faker, yeah, Thibaut. No, he's. You got to admire him for that.
Yeah,
he keeps it real.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Am I sad? No.
But am I happy? Like, no.
Did I kill him? No.
No.
But am I sad? Someone did. No. did I like him? No.
Yeah.
But you like don't hate me for being honest. Yeah. Really.
Right.
Meanwhile,
Pizzo,
piece of shit, is taking his sweet time returning to Rome. He's returning to Rome via the scenic route. honestly, probably a good idea that he sees everything he wants to see on his bucket list.
Right.
Before he gets back to Rome.
Yes. Yeah.
Pretty good strategy there. You know, I think I'll just go to the pyramids. Never been to the pyramids. Think I'll go to the pyramids, see that. Troy, go to Troy. Never been to Troy.
Right.
Want to get naked, oiled up, and run around the whatever it was that you run around in Troy. What did they run around in Troy? How did Alexander run around in Troy?
Oh.
And the something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something that had to do with what's his face? Who was Brad Pitt in Troy?
Achilles. Yeah, oh, we should have did that, but we weren't in Troy. But still, it would have been badass.
But before he gets there, someone dies.
Is that a person who was very familiar with death?
Yes.
Okay.
And if we were still allowed to play music on this show... I would cut to Suzanne Vega,
right,
playing Martina watches from the wall. Her mocking smile says it all. She records the rise and fall of everyone who's been there, but the only person now is me. I'm finding things I cannot see, and it's called a mystery. And I am changing.
Nice.
Martina on the wall. Okay, it's Marlena, but fuck it, you know.
No, you made it better.
Thanks. Yeah. Yes, Martina. Yeah. Talk about Martina.
But yeah, she was, I don't have any, I don't want to ruin it. I don't have too much details, but yeah, she was the person who was the professional poisoner who was accused of being in on it with Placenta, and she is obviously brought to Rome to be questioned, but...
Who's Placenta? Stop making up names for people. Placina?
Placina, shit.
Placina.
Shit, sorry.
There's no T in there. Okay, stop making shit up. You have one job. Get the names right.
Placenta, they were in cahoots, but when Martina comes to Brundisium, she probably can figure out what's going to happen to her. She reaches down into the bat belt where she keeps one little special pill for herself, puts it between her teeth, crunches down, flops like a fish, and then is no more. So whatever questions they were going to pose to her, they cannot.
Although...
Mm-hmm.
Some say she committed suicide. Others say she was poisoned by others to remove a star witness, the convenient removal of a star witness. Some people blamed Vladimir Putin for this. American media will blame Vladimir Putin for it. He says, I was not even there at the time. What are you talking about? You're crazy.
No excuse.
Tacitus, I like this. Tacitus says that poison was concealed in a knot of her hair.
Wow.
but that no symptoms of suicide were discovered on her person.
Hmm.
So she concealed poison in a knot of her hair.
Sure. Well, she is a professional.
I assume she had big knots. And then had like a little vial of poison tucked into that.
Yeah.
Now, you would think she would have pulled a Mithridates and have spent a lifetime building up immunity to her own poisons.
Oh, yeah.
He said there was no symptoms of suicide discovered on her person, so maybe she shot herself twice in the back of the head while she was handcuffed. I don't know.
Right. Who wants her dead the most? Who wants her dead the most?
Well, let's say she did come up with the poison that was given to Germanicus, assuming that he was poisoned. She was probably paid to do that by Plaquina and Piso.
Right.
So she could rat them out.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to get rid of her. But Piso and Plaquina aren't even back yet. So it has to be somebody who knows that she can rat them out. So maybe Tiberius. If Tiberius gave Piso an order to kill Germanicus, and Piso then gave Martina on the wall, a requisition. If he ordered, went online to her website, martinaspoisons.com, and ordered poison.
Right.
Maybe it was Tiberius that gave the order to have her killed.
I just have to ask: do you think Tiberius would have been involved in that level of the killing? But whatever. But and I can't remember how much we talked about last time. But I was rereading the notes from the last show, and supposedly, you know, Piso poisons him when they're having this big banquet. There's a whole bunch of people around. Doesn't seem very plausible to me. So again, we have no idea how Germanicus died. But yeah, I think at the very least, Piso has the motive to have her removed because she's a foreigner. She probably has figured out she's going to die either. Even if she gets up there and she spills the bean, and she can, even if she could prove it, which I'm sure she couldn't. But the point is, she's going to die either way. I think she knows this as a foreigner, but I think at the very least, Piso, if she didn't kill herself, it's probably Piso, just because she's probably going to point the finger at him.
Yeah, well, his son Marcus arrives in Rome around about the same time, so maybe Marcus had her killed. I don't know, man, but anyway, she's dead.
Yeah.
She's dead.
That's all that matters.
Dead.
And like you said, Piso had sent his son Marcus, who, if you remember, was one going, "Dad, I really don't think that you should do this," as far as going back to Syria and trying to take his province back. But once Piso makes up his mind, Marcus the dutiful son, listens to his father and he tries to help him. So Marcus has a letter for Thibaut. And while he's delivering that, Piso goes to see Drusus, Tiberius' son, who is evaluating the troops in Illyricum. So they're splitting up, and they're both trying to get their best foot forward before there's any kind of trial.
In Illyricum, which is a long fucking way from Syria.
Someone's got to go.
He went to Illyricum.
For his daddy.
On his way back to Rome.
Yeah, right.
That's like, you know, if you're heading from Virginia to Washington, going via Seattle. Right.
That was the only connecting flight I could get. So, yeah. Yeah.
Hard to pull the old, "Oh, I was in the neighborhood," when you turn up there.
Right.
And Drusus wouldn't see him when he got there. Imagine you go all the way to Illyricum. "I'm here to see Drusus." "Oh, I'm sorry, he's not in." "What do you mean he's not in?" "Sorry, no, he's
out.
He had to step out."
"Right.
When will he be back?" "Oh, we don't know. We don't know when he'll be back." "What do you mean you don't know?"
"Really? Yeah."
"Yeah." "So, well, I'll wait." "Oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Waste your time, guys. Know what I mean?" "Yeah.
He's not taking visitors." Reminds me, I just rewatched The King of Comedy recently. You ever seen The King of Comedy?
No.
Oh, neither had Chrissy, so I made her sit down and watch it. Martin Scorsese film from the early 80s with Robert De Niro, Jerry Lewis, and Sandra Bernhardt.
Wow.
It's genius, man. It's one of Martin Scorsese's lesser-known films. Mm-hmm. Robert De Niro plays a guy who he's crazy. He thinks he's going to be a famous late-night talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like a fake studio set up in his mother's basement where he lives this fantasy of being famous and like runs his own fake talk show with fake guests.
God. Like
and
Kramer. Everything.
Yeah, exactly like Kramer. That's where they got it from. They basically took it from the King of Comedy, yeah. And so it's literally that. And then Jerry Lewis plays basically Johnny Carson. And he's a talk show host, and they kidnap him order to get him to force his people to let Robert De Niro have a crack at hosting the late night show. Great film, just really great. Wacky. Sandra Bernhardt's great in it. Jerry Lewis is great. Jerry's a straight guy in it. Does a great job.
Oh, wow.
De Niro, of course, is great. Yeah, like 1980, something like that, it came out. And the thing about it is that I found really prophetic is, you know, all these people today, including my kids, all these people who think they're going to be famous, they want to be Instagram famous, or they want to have a YouTube show or a podcast to be famous like us.
For five bucks. Okay. Sure. Go ahead.
Everyone wants to be famous. And this was like just for no other reason. Like we don't do this to be famous. No. We do this because we like talking about history with each other.
Right.
That's why. I keep saying to Hunter, one of my boys who just started a podcast here, Taylor, and he wants to have a YouTube. He goes, "Yeah, what do you want to do?" I said, "What do you want to do?" He goes, "Oh, I think I'm going to do a YouTube show." I go, "Yeah, what about?" I don't know.
Well, doesn't matter.
What do you want to talk about? Don't know. Just want to be famous on YouTube. And I go, but. Don't you have to have something to talk about?
Yeah.
No.
Why? Because
you're so you're so old fashioned. You don't get it. In my head, we do this because we love history. We love learning about history. We love talking about history. He's like, no. People will just tune in because it's because I've got a show.
I want to be that's like it. Kardashians. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm famous for being famous. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Anywho, so Drusus wouldn't see him. It reminded me of that film because Robert De Niro, he tries to get a meeting with Jerry Lewis and Jerry Lewis won't take his meeting. He goes, "That's all right, I'll just sit here. I'll just sit." He just sits in the foyer for like day after day after day waiting for his shot with smile on his face. It's okay. I can wait. I'm destined to be famous. Right. It's okay.
It's going to happen. I wanted to ask you, do you think do you think that Drusus was not seeing Pizzo because he was told to or whatever by his father? I mean, that sounds like something Tiberius would do, but I don't know that for sure.
Well, I think, Pizzo was known to be a pain in the ass. You know, he was an arrogant
piece of shit.
Yeah, no one liked him. B, Drusus probably got a letter from Germanicus before he died saying Pizzo poisoned me and killed me. So why would he want to meet this guy at all?
Shake his hand. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't want that photo op getting out there. Like Pizzo is trying to do to Drusus what Ho Chi Minh did to the leader of the Flying Tigers division, whatever his name was.
Claire Chenault.
Who's the Flying Tigers guy?
Claire Chenault,
yes.
Yeah.
Guy with the girl name, girly name. You know, for people who don't listen to our Cold War show, Ho Chi Minh, before he was fighting the Americans, was friendly with the Americans. He was, working with the CIA. But he went and got a signed photo from the most famous American in the Middle East at the time, one of them anyway, Claire Chenault, who had the Flying Tigers unit that was helping the Chinese nationalists, and he got a photo of Claire signed, and then Ho would take that around Vietnam and just wave it and show it to people. Go, look, you know,
yeah,
big. I'm tight with Claire. Bud.
Yeah,
yeah, we're buds. So yeah, he gave me a signed photograph. That's how fucking right. tight we are. Don't worry about it. The Americans are on our side. It's all going to be okay. Let's go fight the French and the Japanese.
Right. And believe it or not, I gave him a signed photo of me. That's not true, but that's what I'm telling everybody.
So, yeah, he asked me for the photo first, and I said, oh, I didn't really
want his photo, but I figured I better might hurt his feelings, so I asked him for one. Yeah, it worked out. Yeah.
Didn't want to insult the guy.
it's Claire. I don't want to make Claire mad. Yeah.
Did you know I've got a poster of Ho Chi Minh up on my wall here?
I think it might have been in a picture you have on Facebook of your office, but... Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. It's probably where.
Yeah. No. It is. It's behind me. So if there's a camera facing at me, it's behind me. Yeah. One of our listeners brought that back for me. Max Farquhar. Was it nice. Max or Scott? They're twins. I don't know. I think it was Max. Brought that back for me from. Hold on. No, he brought me back the Mao Tse-tung poster that I've got on my wall. No, the Ho Chi Minh was from David Ryland, I think.
Oh really,
Dave? When we had our Brisbane meet and greet, I think it was David Ryland. Fucking forgive me if I've got the person wrong, but I think it was David Ryland. This guy lives just out of Brisbane, if I'm right. Came to our Brisbane meet and greet. He'd just been to Vietnam, and I said, "Bring me back something nice from Vietnam." Brought me back a poster of Ho Chi Minh.
Nice.
Anyway, yeah,
David's the best.
I wouldn't go that far. Like, let's not fucking insert his name into the song of the Sally Eye or anything. Let's not go over the top here. He's all right, you know.
Yeah,
he's fair. Okay. He's a good bloke, but let's not. So
well,
best.
I like him. I like him.
Well, you like everybody.
It's true.
I love everybody.
Bubble people especially have very big hearts.
Yeah. I love everybody. Especially I'll love it song, which if we were putting music in the show
right,
now
would be right
if we
here.
if we weren't being sued by every record label known to the planet, I would put that in. But
we'd make them better. We but can't. No,
yeah, that was my argument. Didn't work.
Yeah.
Anyway, where are we?
So,
Drusus. Yeah, Drusus won't see. Maybe he got instructions from Tiberius, but I think he just didn't want the photo. Didn't like the optics.
Right.
Of being seen with the guy who might have assassinated his brother yesterday. Yeah. He's like, I don't think so.
I think Pizzo is enough of a cunt to actually think that Drusus would be happy to see him and would be happy with what he's done. But I think we've established that Drusus is, some ways, is a lot like his father. He's like, look, I know my place. Yes, I'm a Roman and I would love to have all the bling bling. I get all that stuff, but I know my place because my father has told me where his place is. He's a chair warmer. And so I'm just doing my job. And yeah, I don't think Drusus wants to get mixed up with this. And so, like you said, the last person he wants to shake hands with and take a photo is Pizzo. And so he dodges him as best he can. Pizzo
might have thought that Drusus would shake his hand and give him an old reach around. Yeah, because he'd just gotten rid of a rival for him.
Yeah.
He's like, well, now you're next in line to the throne, motherfucker. I did this for you.
Yeah, I did you a solid.
Did you a solid. At least you can do is give me a reach around. As we've said before, Drusus and Germanicus were apparently pretty close. Drusus in public said that he hoped that the charges against Pizzo would be proven to be false.
Right.
And that no one else's life would be ruined.
Aww.
So Pizzo figures it's time to face the music and he goes to Rome.
But this is my favorite part because he's coming to Rome. And I really don't think this is planned. He bumps into the 9th Legion, and they're on their way back. Actually, they're on their way to Africa. But the point is they meet up. But again, just like we said earlier with the rumors that are going around about Tiberius and Livia based off people's attitudes, there's enough people that don't like Pizzo. So now there's rumors that he is forming up with the 9th Legion to march on Rome, a la Sulla and Marius before him. So again, this guy, and the reason he stayed away besides trying to suck up to Drusus is he's trying to let the Agrippina effect dissipate. And so, but now it's time to come back. But again, the public opinion seems to be generally against him because he has been accused of killing or having a hand in the murder of the beloved Germanicus.
So just to clarify that, because he's coming from Illyricum, which is up in the north, he lands in Anconia in the north of Italy. He's marching south towards Rome. The 9th Legion are marching north to go up around Transalpine Gaul and to make their way around to Africa. Imagine that.
God.
Where are we off to today, Commander? Africa. Oh, okay. We're going to get a boat and just start.
No, better.
We're going to be walking.
Tighten your sandals, boys.
All the way to. We're going to be walking. All the way to Africa.
We're going
to
earn it. Yeah. Put your Fitbits on.
Well, I guess no. They're going to get not Transalpine Gaul. They're going to march up, and then go right. And they're going to march through Illyricum, I guess, and come all the way down via Syria. Through Egypt and into Africa. They're going that way. You'd end up in Spain. And you could march around to the left, get to Spain, get to the Straits of Gibraltar and just catch a little ferry over.
Sure.
But no, they might be marching right, the other way. Either way, it's a long fucking way.
It is.
Yes. Oh, no. He ran into them actually in Pannonia, Hungary. On his way. They weren't even in Italy when he ran in.
But it's the rumors that generate from that chance meeting. Again, which shows you what some people in Rome are thinking.
He was taking selfies of himself front of the 9th Legion, thumbs up, their thumbs up. He's posting those on Instagram.
Great bunch of guys.
He's like, they're leaving the country, though, so they're not going to be much good marching on Rome unless he's like, listen, wait for my call. Right. If I call you, come running back. And they're like, you bitch, we're going to be in Africa. You know how long it's going to take us to get back to Italy? I'll give you some notice. I'll be like, quick, get here now in the next 3 months. If you could, that'd be great. So then he sailed from Narnia.
Right.
And yes, that is a real place in Umbria.
Right.
Today, it's just called Narni.
Thank goodness.
Halfway between Rome and Assisi. Apparently, C.S. Lewis, before he became a crazy Christian, after he became a crazy Christian, saw the name in an atlas as a child, before he became a crazy Christian, and named his fictional place in the books after it.
Cool.
He went, that sounds like a cool name for a place. Narnia.
Add on some letters. Yeah.
No, it was already called Narnia. Narnia.
Yeah.
Olden days, it's called Narnia now because after that book came out, they said it would be associated with that. Yeah, they had to change the name. It's named after the Nar River. So he sailed down the Nar River until it turned into the Tiber. Now, by the way, if you go to Narnia today.
Right.
It's also the place where the theme song to the Adam West Batman series was composed. It's na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na- If you go to Narnia today, you can see the Pont di Augusto, which is one of the oldest bridges in Italy, built in 27 BCE. So, road trip.
Those Romans can build shit. They are.
You
engineers.
Fucking emailed me the other day and said, let's plan another trip to Florence. And I was like, bitch, I haven't even recovered from our last trip to Florence.
But only to Florence.
Are you going to bring your family this time? Or just you just like, I need to get away from my family again. I want to go back to Florence.
I mean, if you want me to bring them, I can. Or I could try to slip away and say, I'm going to go get some bread. And then just drive to the airport. I can do it either way.
Is that what you did last time?
Pretty much. Because I walk in 3 weeks later, she's like, where the fucking bread? I'm like, oh my God, I knew I forgot something. All I've got is these trinkets from Europe. I am.
You said, I'll turn around. I'll go back and get some bread.
She's like, not
this
so
would be
fast.
For another 3 months.
Yeah, yeah. Now, she caught on to me eventually. After about the first week, she realized I wasn't at Food Lion. So, yeah.
So anyway, according to Tacitus, when Piso arrived in Rome, He sailed down the Tiber and increased the fury of the populace by bringing his vessel to shore at the tomb of the Caesars.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my God.
Which is where the Arapachus Museum is now, the Arapachus.
Right.
We were there
six months
ago.
Yeah.
We were right there on the fucking river near at the museum or the Museum of the Arapachus, the mausoleum. Right. Mausoleum, Jesus Christ, of Augustus.
It's only show two, but go ahead.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. But how's that for...
Wow.
Tying it all together. Tactlessness? lack of tact? Tactlessness? The fucking ashes of Germanicus have just been laid to rest there, and he rocks up in his party boat, in the sex boat. He's like, woo! We're back, yo! We're back in Rome, bitches! Hey!
Where are my bitches?
Germanicus! Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, and he's not. It's not like he comes in demure or quiet. You know, he gets escorted home by his allies, or his retainers, and he's clearly in a jovial mood. He thinks, you know what? I got Tiberius in the back of my pocket. I just got to go through the motions. Everything's going to be fine. So he gets home and he has a celebration, and you can just imagine the people that hear this around him are even more upset and angry and are vying for revenge against this piece of shit.
He was met when he landed by a group of fans, retainers, and I was going to say that when we were at the Arapachus, we were met by a fan. I'm trying to remember the lady's name.
Oh,
what was the
God.
Name of the lady who met us at the Arapachus?
Susan? I can't remember.
So why did you say Susan?
That feels right, but that's based off absolutely nothing.
Oh, I'm sure I've got it in my notes. I'm just looking at my notes from the trip. And
you have notes.
I feel guilty. I make notes of it because I'm going to forget like a week later what happened.
That's true.
What we did. Like I just my did. Memory.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Linda, Susan, Hot Nancy. Yeah,
Hot Nancy. That was it. Yeah. It'll be in my diary somewhere.
She had a friend with her, Bodacious Betty, I think was it.
So we were met by a fan. I don't think she was waiting for us there.
She
like
was
these
lost.
People were waiting.
They were lost
and
trying to find their way back to their hotel, remember? And she's like, oh, and she just bumped into us.
And recognized you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you were.
I stand out in a crowd. Don't touch that. Don't touch that.
You stand down
stand
in a crowd.
Down in a crowd. Yeah, well, there's no one else on the street. That's why, probably why. That's the only reason why.
It yeah.
was just us.
But that was sweet. We got met.
Right there on that spot. You were too busy reading the wall.
I was reading the wall,
Raised guest day or trying to remember what it was.
Actually, no, I was videoing. Remember, there was this... there was some Asian people walking past, and I can't remember why I tried to get them on camera because they were doing something.
Have you seen Asians before? Was this the first time? That was wrong. That was so inappropriate. I'm so sorry.
You've been to Brisbane and Melbourne. We have more Asians per capita in Australia
China.
Than we do white people now.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I was like, I think I landed in the wrong country. Wow. I got to go check a map.
Anyway. Where were we? Fuck.
So now that Piso is back and it's time to get going with the trial.
Oh, Piso. No, before that.
Oh, yeah, please.
So his retainers met him at the shore and in broad daylight walked him past the mausoleum of Augustus, all the way to his mansion, which was overlooking the forum.
Right.
Big fucking smiles on his and Plancina's faces.
Oh.
They're all dancing. They're celebrating. His mansion had been done up, decorated to celebrate his return. There's parties going on.
Dancing in the streets.
And, of course, pissed the people off even more. They already are pissed off at this guy.
Yeah.
They're pissed at Piso. Piso pissed. Piso.
You could be pissed or you could be Piso pissed. And let me tell you, they were Piso pissed.
They were Piso pissed, yeah. Now, of course.
Yeah.
if he'd stuck in quietly in the middle of the night, people would have been pissed off too.
They would have assumed.
Saying, oh, yeah, he's sneaking around, sneaking in.
Yeah.
So he couldn't win. So he just decided, fuck it, we're going to own it. And we're just going to turn up in broad daylight and just, you know, looking confident.
It's like he did.
Rocking up. It's like rocking up to your murder trial.
Oh, right.
Smiling and laughing on your way. It's like O.J. Simpson rocking up to his trial, just winking and doing the, you know, finger bang to people. Yeah. Hey, what's up? Yeah. You got to look confident, you know. You don't want to look guilty.
Yeah, crazy.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
God.
How many years ago was that?
I was in college. I was at James Madison. Oh, my God. I graduated in... Fuck, when did I graduate?
You graduated? I don't think you graduated.
Well, they gave me a robe, and there was nothing on underneath. I remember that.
went to a toga party.
And I moved my own tassel. And by tassel, I mean penis, to the other side.
They said, no, that was it, Ray. That's technically, but I've only been here a week. That's it. Congratulations. Here's a certificate we printed out.
God.
He said, why does it have a chicken on it? Doesn't matter. No, that's how we do it now. Just
very modern.
Please leave.
Please leave.
please go.
Put your clothes back on and go.
Anyway, it was a long time ago. So, his accusers didn't muck about. He literally the next day.
That's right.
He is accused, and who is his accuser, Ray? Who is taking the front foot for this?
The one and the only Fulcinius Trio, the main accuser of libo back in 16. He rocks up to the Senate and he goes, "I, Fulcinius Trio, dare to lay charges against Piso before you consuls." And that's exactly what he did. Does he have any connection to this? Was he there when Germanicus died? Was he a relative of Germanicus? Was he on the Germanicus team? Fuck no. But this guy's going to try to get paid, and this is how you get your name out there, by taking on the celebrity cases. Just like OJ, that's what you do, and that's what he did. He was going to step up and be the first one to lay some charges against this guy.
And where do we know Fulcinius Trio from before?
Libo, the trial of libo in 16.
Trial of libo.
Yeah.
What's the name of Kramer's lawyer?
Oh God! Oh my God! Nope, gone.
Jackie Giles. Here we go.
Well, you know, they don't allow outside drinks in the movie theater, so I had to put it in my shirt and sneak it in.
Yeah, see, they like to sell their own coffee.
Yeah. Now, is that going to be a problem?
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem for them. It's a clear violation of your rights as a consumer. It's an infringement on your constitutional rights. It's outrageous, egregious, preposterous.
It's completely preposterous.
The best lawyer ever.
Jackie Charles. Anyway, that's who this guy is. He just wants to be a famous prosecutor. Yeah, he's trying to make his name as a professional prosecutor of famous cases. Now, this is kind of a new thing in the Principate. Under the Republic, it wasn't cool to be on the side of the prosecution all the time.
Right.
Especially if you were part of the elite. These are your peeps.
Yeah.
You know, you could defend the peeps.
Right.
But you also wanted to defend the people. You wanted to be seen as being both sides.
Ah.
You didn't want to be a professional going after the high-profile cases all the time.
You're going to make enemies.
Exactly. And it's just betrayal of your class.
Yeah.
But Trio wants high-profile cases that were easy to win in order to make his name. He wanted to be famous.
Right.
What are you going to be famous for? I just want to be famous, he said. I don't care. Doesn't matter what it is. Okay. I'll take the easy to win cases.
Yeah.
But he had some competition in this case, Ray.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, again, he's not related to this. So the people that were there with Germanicus, his compatriots when he died, Vitellius, Veronius, and others, they're Germanicus' friends. They're the ones that Germs told that, look, I've been poisoned by Piso. They're the ones who have sworn, they have taken an oath. They promise to get revenge or die trying. So they get really pissed at Trio when he rocks up with this. So they're like, okay, so you can attack Piso on the stuff that he did when he was governor and stuff like that. You can get him for the old stuff. But when it comes to the death, the murder of Germanicus, this we are going to handle because we have sworn an oath. And so they're going to break up the case in that way. So there is a very, you know, these guys are very focused, very determined, and this is very emotional for them. Because as far as they know, Piso literally murdered their friend.
When I get murdered, will see it as your sacred duty to answer my dying call for revenge?
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Nope, I don't mean it the way it sounds, but I will definitely be there. I will definitely be there to console Chrissy and look for your killer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the consoling bit. Yeah. Yeah. No, rest your head on my... No, just bend down. Bend down and rest your head. Just look, get down on your knees and then... Okay, see? Rest your head.
I'm going to stroke your
on
hair.
On my shoulder.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So turned on right
She doesn't
now.
Have any hair. She's waxed. Oh, you mean the hair in her head.
I wanted to find out for myself. You ruined the surprise yet again. Anyway.
They divide the case. He only gets to deal with Piso's career before Syria. Not great for him. Then the consuls ask Tiberius to hear the case.
Oh shit.
They want him to be the judge. They don't want to be responsible, the consuls, for deciding the guilt of a guy who might have just been following Tibo's orders.
Yeah.
Or at the very least his wishes.
Right.
He may not have given Piso an order, but he might have said, "Oh, listen, while you're down there, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more, mother, is the watch ready, mother? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. If he'd said that, if Germanicus should die, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Nudge, wink, wink, say no more, mother. The watch, mother. The consuls don't want to be in the position of having to decide on that, so they asked Thibaut to do it. Now, Germanicus's friends can't have been very happy about this. They had to assume Thibaut would find in favour of his friend, Piso.
Yeah.
But Germs was his adopted son and heir, so to complain would be to suggest that he couldn't be trusted to be impartial.
Ooh, not a good career move.
Or,
maybe
to suggest that he was personally implicated, that he had an interest in this, so they can't complain about it.
Right.
And Piso, on the other hand, must have been happy with the suggestion. He knows that's it. I'm as good as a free man.
Right.
Thibaut's hearing the trial. He started making plans for the next murder. He started making a list of guys that he was going to kill. He's like,
I'm going to kill these lawyers.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Fired his lawyers. Don't need lawyers. It's all I'm gonna represent myself.
You know, he's gonna kill the prosecution. He's literally like, if Thibaut takes a case, obviously I'm his buddy. But even more than that, his wife, his mother, and my wife are friends, and women are gonna talk the way they do. She's gonna influence Tiberius. I'm as good as gotten off. Let's do this, son. So he's ready to go. However,
Thibaut went, no, I don't think so.
Nope. Why in the hell would I want to take this job on? The people are screaming in the streets. Why in the hell would I take this responsibility?
He knows that if Piso is acquitted, people will be saying that Thibaut, you know, got him off.
Right.
Not in a sexy way, but Thibaut.
You got to start somewhere.
Thibaut was implicated in the whole thing, and there would be riots. On the other hand, He didn't want to have to sentence his old friend to death.
No.
He sent the guy down there, gave him the job. Now he has to, he doesn't want to sentence him to death. So he has a preliminary hearing, mm-hmm. like he hears the facts from both sides, and then he sends it back to the Senate and says, do your fucking job.
Yeah.
This is why we have a fake Senate, a fake consuls.
Right.
It's your job to decide on these things, not me. This is why I pay you so I don't have to get my hands dirty with this kind of stuff. If I wanted to do everything, I would just do everything and not even bother with a Senate or consuls because, you know, quite frankly, you know, you're just puppets anyway.
Right.
Just, this is your job. Your job is to protect me from this stuff. It's like mob boss.
Layers.
With capo. Layers. It's like, it's layers, Jerry. Layers. It's, there's a mob boss. It's like why Donald Trump has Michael Cohen.
Right.
Had Michael Cohen. It's had Michael Cohen. It's like, if I have to pay off the hookers myself, what's the point of having you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were going to record me telling you to pay off the hookers. I could have just paid them off myself. The very point of having you there is so these things can't be tied back to me.
Right.
What's the fucking point of having you in the first place?
And if you think about it, I mean, this has been Tiberius's and to a certain degree Augustus's MO, trying to get the Senate to do something, to do part of their duties, to take some of the burdens on. Because if you go back to the very first Tiberius episode, we went on and on and on about him, like, you know, not looking forward to all the work that is involved in being the princeps, much less the stuff dealing with the people. So he's like, yeah, I need you to do this. And again, he's trying to get out of a very awkward situation. And Piso, obviously, when he hears this, he's figuring, you know what? I'm kind of on my own at this point. Tiberius, unless there's a miracle, something, I don't know, Tiberius is not going to help.
So Piso starts asking, he goes, oh, shouldn't have fired my lawyers. So he starts reaching out to people to act as his lawyers, his advocates. And they all are like, oh, man, like.
I would, but the cable guy's coming. He's coming sometime in the year 20 between noon and 4 every day. I just got to be there. You know how it is. I don't want to miss this. So I got to stay at home. Very sorry.
I've got tickets to see Mulata Astatke, you know, the famous Ethiopian jazz musician.
Right.
The father of Ethio jazz. He's coming to Rome once only. I mean, he's 74. We don't know, how long he's going to. Yeah, it's, you know, it's not like the Stones or Kiss where they'll have a farewell tour every couple of years. Astatke doesn't tour often.
No, yeah. And then I'm sorry, go ahead. And then the third guy, and this is probably, he's like, you know what, I'm going to be honest with you, Piso, and this is embarrassing, but the last time I was here, they caught me dumpster diving in the back. Things have been hard for me. I'm too embarrassed to go back to the courthouse. I just can't. I'm very sorry, but I wish you the best.
The only people he can get to appear on his behalf are Livinius Regulus.
Right.
M. Aemilius Lepidus,
mm-hmm.
and L. Calpurnius Piso.
His
brother. Who would that be?
That's his brother. That's his loyal, I'm here for you even though you're fucked brother, because I love you.
He's got another job at that time, L. Calpurnius Piso, Ray. What would that be?
I can't remember. What is it?
That would be consul.
Oh, that's right. isn't that good news for Piso to have a consul, even though it's his brother supporting him?
Yeah, actually, I don't think he was consul. He had been consul.
Oh, he had been consul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, he had been consul in the year 1 BCE.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about this before. He was the guy that said, listen, we're going to skip the year zero. We're just going to go straight from 1
so
to 1 CE.
Yeah.
And people were like, what? How does that work? Okay, no, trust me. Trust me. It'll all make sense.
The less thinking
in time,
the better. Right.
Yeah, don't overthink it.
But still, to have a former consul on your defense team, it's got to be pretty impressive, even though he's your brother.
And he was he was an auger
The
time.
Yes.
He said, when his brother said, could you represent me? I guess I got to wait to see what the birds, got to wait for the birds, see what the birds say.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me wait. You see what the birds say. Now, this Lepidus, M. Aemilius Lepidus, was the son of Cornelia,
mm-hmm.
who was the daughter of Scribonia, Augustus's second wife, mother of Julia, former wife to Tiberius, Julia the slut whore.
Right.
And he was also a descendant of Scipio Africanus.
Yes.
He was also a former consul and led one of the legions under Tiberius during the Illyrian Revolt. His daughter, Aemilia Lepida,
mm-hmm.
was married to Drusus Caesar, the son of Germanicus and Agrippina.
Wow. Blue bloods.
Yeah, but they're all, you know, it's Days of Our Lives stuff here, man. They're all interrelated. It's all, you know, Young and the Restless going on.
Yeah.
Livinius Regulus mm-hmm. had been Suffolk consul the previous year, but that's all we know about him. I don't know why there was a Suffolk consul who died and made him Suffolk consul. Who died and made you Suffolk consul, people would say. And he'd go, Tiberius?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good enough. Yeah. So here's the thing. All those names, I feel like we should be impressed at this point with these blue bloods backing him. But however, as you can imagine, the people of Rome, they don't give a fuck. Everybody is watching Tiberius to see what he's going to do, because they can have their court, they can have their ruling, but at the end of the day, Tiberius can step in anytime he wants. That's one of the prerogatives of being the princeps. So everybody's really watching him. They're just watching everybody else go through the motions.
So on the day of the first day of the trial, Tiberius gives a big speech, which I'm going to read, because Tacitus has it written down, apparently, allegedly.
Allegedly, cool.
which my Tiberius voice.
I was going to say, what's your prep phrase to do a Roman voice?
To Tiberius.
Okay, yeah.
I've got to come up with I don't think I've come up with a Tiberius voice yet. We haven't had many Tiberius speeches, but here we go. Tiberius speech voice.
Piso was my father's representative and friend. I was appointed by myself on the advice of the Senate to assist Germanicus in the administration of the East.
I'm insulted. Go ahead.
When I'm reading bedtime stories to Fox, I always do it. I do voices. I don't know. Does every father? Every father I probably think so, does this.
Yeah.
But I do all these voices, and he hates it. He says, stop it. Stop doing the voice. Just do it normally.
That is normal for you. Yeah.
Voices I will do. Yes, no. Don't do it as you. Just.
You
can
got
you
one
just
job.
Read it?
Yeah.
Just read the fucking. I'll do Churchill. I'll do Stalin. I'll pull out all these voices. I'm practicing. It's my, you know, I'm practicing.
Yeah. Multitasking.
He just gets ropeable. Just will you stop? You're not on a podcast now. Can you,
do you
just
see a
stop
microphone?
With the.
I don't see a microphone.
Just stop with the stupid voices. Stop singing songs in the middle of this. Can you? It's like, can you just read the story of Peter Pan and stop fucking around?
I'm not
you?
Your audience. I'm your son.
Yeah.
Dad.
I'm trying to get ready for bed. Stop entertaining yourself. You're not supposed to be doing this to entertain yourself. You're supposed to be doing it to entertain me, not stop trying to make yourself laugh. This isn't Ray. Ray's not here. Stop trying to make Ray laugh. He's not even listening.
I'm looking around. I don't see him. Come on, Dad. Pull it together.
Piso
right.
was my father's representative and friend, and was appointed by myself on the advice of the Senate to assist Germanicus in the administration of the East. Whether he there had provoked the young prince by willful opposition and rivalry, and had rejoiced at his death or wickedly destroyed him, is for you to determine with minds unbiased. Certainly, if a subordinate oversteps the bounds of duty and of obedience to his commander and has exulted in his death, and in my affliction I shall hate him and exclude him from my house, and I shall avenge a personal quarrel without resorting to my power as emperor. Let me stop there for a second.
Yeah.
Do you believe that at this juncture, 2021 CE, right, Tiberius was referring to himself as emperor?
Ooh, I can't imagine that word being used. And if it was, I can't imagine that word being not bringing up a whole bunch of controversy. So I don't think the word is being used at this point. It would be crazy. For Tiberius.
I mean, not even as imperator. I mean,
right,
he's going to, I think at this stage, he's probably referring to himself still as princeps.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have Tacitus in the original Latin. I assume he wrote this in Latin, might have been in Greek. I don't know what Tacitus wrote in Latin. He would have been writing in Latin. I don't know if the person translating this just decided to call it emperor, or maybe Tacitus writing 80, 90 years later, Tacitus is writing under sort of Nerva, I think. Sort of Trajan, Hadrian. He's writing in one. This is the Annals. The Annals was last. He wrote the histories first and the Annals last, right? The Annals were the last thing he wrote. So he was probably writing them 110, 115 CE. So that's kind of, I think, Trajan. Nerva Trajan, don't exactly know, remember my dates from that, but maybe they're calling themselves emperors at that stage, so he's just using that terminology to be lazy, familiar.
A lazy writer at that, just picking that word. Yeah. He should have been a little more careful, but maybe a staff.
But do you know when they started referring to themselves as emperor?
You've got to imagine Caligula did. I just imagine with his ego, but I that's not based on proof or anything. I just see him doing that, but I think Tiberius still would have been careful, and certainly for this trial, I would think that he would be careful.
Well, you know, there are coins from the period of Tiberius. I've got one in front of me, and I'm trying to read it. It says Augustus Ty Caesarian or something. He's referring to himself as the Augustus there, I think. On the other side, it says Pontifex Maximus. This is a coin from,
I don't think it would have been. I would be shocked.
14 to 37.
Shocked if he called himself an emperor. Yeah.
So maybe he's referring to himself as the Augustus. Mm-hmm. Here he goes. It says Ty Caesar Divi AVGF Augustus. I'm not sure what the AVG and F is, but Tiberius Caesar Divi something Augustus, son of Augustus, son of,
But not the emperor.
No, well, Tiberius Caesar, son Divi, Divi is divine, the divine, Filius, F would be for Filius. AVG would be Augustus. So Tiberius Caesar, Divine Augustus, Filius Augustus. Tiberius Caesar, the Divine Augustus, son of Augustus.
Right.
He's calling himself the Augustus. Maybe that's what's being translated as emperor here. Yeah. He's just calling himself the Augustus, which you know, would have been basically emperor. Oh, that's a much better coin. I want to get a good. Hey, I've been thinking about this. Meant to talk to you about this off air, but as new gifts for the show, instead of coffee mugs, Chrissy had some trophies made up recently for her students,
right?
For the end of year violin concert, and the same place makes medallions, like gold, medallions like my Napoleon medallion that I've got. I was thinking we could rip off some of these coins.
I'm all for that.
we could get medallions made up for listeners of the Caesars and the Augustus, just rip off some of these old things and as the design. What about, we'll make up our own designs?
Yeah.
As giveaways, just medallions of Tiberius, etc.
We can certainly do that, and I'd like to hear from the people, but the coffee mug is also functional. You can actually use it, so it would be interesting to have some feedback, I think. Since I don't have Stan and Barry here to advise me what people would be more interested in. But that does sound like a neat idea.
Well, we talked about having rings once upon a time, but the medallion is you wear it everywhere.
Right.
And then when you see somebody else wearing one, you go, oh, hey, the magic, the secret handshake, and you know that you're in good company. Anyway, back to the speech because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
He's going to exclude him without resorting to his power as emperor. If, however, a crime is discovered, which ought to be punished, whoever the murdered man may be, it is for you to give just reparation both to the children of Germanicus and to us, his parents. Consider this too, whether Piso dealt with the armies in a revolutionary and seditious spirit, whether he sought by intrigue popularity with the soldiers, whether he attempted to repossess himself of the province by arms, or whether these are falsehoods, which his accusers have published with exaggeration. As for them, I am justly angry with their intemperate zeal. For to what purpose did they strip the corpse and expose it to the pollution of the vulgar gaze and circulate a story among foreigners that he was destroyed by poison, if all this is still doubtful and requires investigation? For my part, I sorrow for my son, and shall always sorrow for him. Still, I would not hinder the accused from producing all the evidence which can relieve his innocence, or convict Germanicus of any unfairness, if such there was. And I implore you not to take as proven charges alleged, merely because the case is intimately bound up with my affliction. Do you, whom ties of blood or your own true-heartedness have made his advocates, help him in his peril, every one of you, as far as each man's eloquence and diligence can do so. To like exertions and like persistency, I would urge the prosecutors. In this, and in this only, will we place Germanicus above the laws by conducting the inquiry into his death in this house instead of in the forum, and before the Senate instead of before a bench of judges. In all else, let the case be tried as simply as others. Let no one heed the tears of Drusus or my own sorrow or any stories invented to our discredit.
Very moderate, solid speech by Germanicus. And you have to remember, like we said before, the death of Germanicus, the murder of Germanicus, it's not a good thing for Tiberius. If he truly wanted to quit, I have to imagine that Germanicus was not far from being ready to take over. And now now Tiberius is going to have to deal with Agrippina. He's going to have to deal with the crowds. This is not good for him. I think he's being very moderate in this, and he's like, let's get this underway. Let's just focus on the murder and do not consider all the other things. Let's focus on, did Piso kill Germanicus? The rest of it can be settled later and in different ways. Let's get on with the trial.
No, but he's saying more than that in this. He's saying, okay, let's look into whether or not Piso killed Germanicus, mm-hmm. but also, did he try and create an insurrection
mm-hmm.
by, you know, trying to take over the army and force his way back into Syria when he'd been removed from power there by Germanicus? Because that's a crime. That's treason.
Right.
We need to look into that. Also, got to tell you, not happy with the prosecution, Germanicus's friends, right. with what they've done, stripping the corpse and exposing it and claiming that he was poisoned when we still don't know if that's factual. Not happy about any of this. I'm angry at everyone, whilst at the same time being very, very sad for the death of my son. But don't listen to my sadness. Don't take that into account. Just look for the facts. But I have to say, not happy with how any of this is going on. Fucking hell. All I want to do is sip Mai Tais on the I'm fucking emperor. I'm the Augustus. Why do I have to deal with this shit? Why can't you people just run things quietly like you're supposed to? You're stressing me out!
It's not a good look for me, baby. Yeah.
So that's basically how we're going to end the show. Thank you to the people who haven't written reviews. And we'll be back next week with more Tiberius.